Welcome to First United Methodist Church's worship service. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org to learn about in-person worship times at both locations. Worship will begin shortly. We are glad that you are with us.
Good morning, church. This is the day the Lord has made, and we can rejoice and we can be glad in it that we have woken up today and we are here to praise God and worship together. I warmly welcome you to First United Methodist Church here at our Brighton campus. I'm Lindsay Hall, one of the two clergy that serve at the congregation. It is a joy to be with you here today in worship. I would invite you to fill out the connection card that you received on the way into worship. Please fill it out and you can place it in the offering plate later on in worship. I'd also like to lift up today, we're going to be celebrating two special moments. We're celebrating all of those who are graduating from high school or college or doctoral programs. We're celebrating and recognizing graduates today. We're also having a moment to say thank you to all teachers that have been a part of the teaching ministry here at our congregation this year. Looking forward to celebrating those moments today. A special thanks to Suzanne Everett as well as Liz Hoover for leading us in worship today. And I'd invite us now to stand together as we praise God. This is my Father's world.
Good morning, everybody, here and there, wherever you are. I'm Liz Hoover, and please join me in the opening prayer. God of heaven and earth, we praise you this morning and thank you for all that you have created. Be with us in worship today as we long for your presence here and in our daily lives. Help us to be good stewards of your gift of creation. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
this time, I'd like to invite forward Julie R. Curry to share with us a special moment.
Good morning, church family. My name is Julie R. Curry. Oops, sorry. And I am the chair of the Adult Discipleship Committee. And if you don't know what that committee does, we work with Pastor Lindsay to select your studies for Lent and Advent. We're working together to maybe get some more going for next year. We have a lot of good members on our committee, so we're talking about all kinds of things we can think of for you to do. We also are sponsoring this event today to celebrate our teachers of the church. Those would be our preschool teachers and all of our Sunday school teachers and our adult teachers. We also want to celebrate our small group leaders today. And I think it was about 36 in total, right? So that's a lot. So we appreciate all of you. And, you know, think about all the work they do outside of the meetings. So lesson plans, craft projects, agendas, working with pastors, all the other things that they do. So please celebrate them today. Say thank you. Come to coffee hour and have some cake and refreshments that Donna has so nicely put together for us. So we appreciate all of you. Thank you.
And we also want to take a moment to pray for all of our teachers and our nursery workers. So if you teach Sunday school, or if you help with youth group, if you volunteer in the nursery, if you're one of our preschool teachers, if you help lead and facilitate an adult Bible study, I would invite you to stand. If you help lead a UMW circle, I'd invite you to stand. We want to celebrate you today. Don't be shy. We want to celebrate you. Let's say a prayer for these wonderful servants. Dear loving God, we give you thanks for the teachers and the leaders who are part of making disciples, from our very youngest who are in the nursery with them on Sunday mornings, to our children and our youth and our adults. We thank you for their call that you've placed upon them to help others grow in their knowledge and their love and their service towards you, God. We celebrate their leadership. We give you thanks for their loving hearts. And we pray, God, that you would continue to bless their ministry and leadership here at First United Methodist, that we might continue to grow and make disciples of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Okay, now that we're all out of breath, today's scripture reading, the scheduling of this wasn't quite right. Today's scripture reading is from Genesis. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground." Then God said, "I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth and the birds in the sky and all the creatures that move on the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, I give them every green plant for food." And it was so. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thanks, Liz, for sharing the reading for us this morning. Church, I'd invite you to pray with me. Dear loving and gracious God, in this time of worship and praise, may we feel your presence known. As we gather in community to sing songs, to hear scriptures, may you draw closer to us. Loving God, now may the words of my mouth and may the meditations of all of our hearts may be pleasing in your sight, you God, who are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I believe that May is the most beautiful month of the year. It's when the tulips are out and the daffodils are out and everything green is coming up from the ground. I believe that the best football team, even if they don't win that often, are the Nebraska Huskers, my home state. I believe that the best pizza place to find gluten-free pizza is none other than Buddy's Pizza, a great Detroit pizza place. I believe that the best 1980s movie series is the Back to the Future series. Do you remember those? All right. Well, you'd probably have your own responses if I were to ask you your favorite month, your favorite pizza place, your favorite football team, go green, go blue, right? Or your favorite movie. You'd probably have a solid reason why you love those things. Perhaps we would agree, perhaps we would disagree, but in the end, the month of the year, or the football team, or the pizza place, or the movies, probably isn't all that important in the grand scheme of life. But if we were to ask a few different questions of each other, beyond pizza places and movies, you might respond with an answer very much more passionately. For what we believe, it matters. Our beliefs, they guide our hearts and actions. Our beliefs impact our choices and behavior. Our beliefs make us who we are. And so beyond pizza and movies, although that's a great debate sometimes at your house on a Friday night, what is it that you believe and why do you believe it? We're starting a new sermon series today called I Believe. And throughout this sermon series, I'm going to invite you to pause and to ponder and to think and to consider what it is that you believe specifically about God, about Jesus, about the Holy Spirit, and about the church. Woven into all of that, you might like to pause and think, well, what is it that you believe about yourself in all of that? And as you pause and you ponder what you believe, feel free to claim those beliefs, of course. Own them. They're your own convictions. But I'd also invite you to be open to different perspectives or theological understandings and practices. I'd invite you to keep an open mind and being willing to listen and learn from one another. Throughout this sermon series over the next 4 weeks, I'm going to invite you to also to lean into all that God is calling you and calling us as the church to be and to do in the world. And so with an open heart, a discerning spirit, a critical thinking mind, I would invite you to think, what do you believe? Specifically this morning, what is it that you believe about God? So in 2009, I started my seminary journey. I think I've told the story a little bit before, a little bit about Garrett. It's a great choice. That's where John and I met. So in 2009, I started the seminary journey. I enrolled at Garrett Evangelical Theological Seminary, packed my bags, and headed to Evanston, Illinois, north of Chicago on Northwestern's campus there. And I jumped feet first into the pool of theological studies, quickly learned that you're either going to swim or you're going to quickly sink. I didn't have those rubber things that you put on your arms, those floaties, you know, so I had to just start swimming. I quickly started swimming through pages upon pages of reading, swimming through intensive theological lectures, swimming through biblical teachings, swimming through conversations with friends and colleagues, jumping off the diving board into all of that theological formation as we were thinking about what you believe and why do you believe it. Seminary is a place where it's going to expand your theological education with scholarly studies at your hands, and it's going to get you in tip-top shape for writing those long academic papers, and it's going to get those wheels turning in your mind as you dialogue with and sometimes have discussion and even some debate with colleagues and professors. Seminary is a place where you start to deconstruct every single thing that you believe, and you turn over every brick and you look at it in different ways, and then you start to be able to put something back together again and create something new again. It's this process of learning and owning and claiming what you believe and why you believe it about your faith. Our confirmation students this spring went through a very similar process. It wasn't a three-year seminary education program, but they went through the spring semester, a part of their faith formation journey, where they also prayed and studied and read scripture. I'm sure they maybe even got into some debates in class and had some good questions, and they came to lean into what it is that they believe, and they owned and claimed their own beliefs. Last week at our 11 o'clock service, at our band-led service last week, we had five of our confirmation students that were confirmed. They named and they claimed their faith for their own. They personally professed faith in Christ. They became a member of our congregation. And through this process, they also had an opportunity to share short snippets of what they believe. So if you were a part of our 11 o'clock service last week, rather than worshiping at 9:30, if you came to 11 o'clock, you had an opportunity to hear a little bit about what our students believe about God, and what our students believe about Jesus, and what they believe about the Holy Spirit and the church. If you missed 11 o'clock service last week, it was a joy to hear a little bit of what they believed, and I want to share with you these words from our students. If you were there, you're going to be blessed again, for what they have to say is powerful. From Marley, she's one of our eighth grade students. She said, "I started believing in God because of the influence of my parents and my mentors, but now I believe in God for myself because I've had more experiences being a part of the church community, and Jesus is my inspiration, and he teaches me to forgive and to care for everyone." From Ezra, sophomore, he says, "I believe in God because of my parents and my grandparents, my friends. They've shared with me their strong faith. And I see Jesus as my friend and salvation, and I want to help feed the homeless and be kind to people." From Brenna, who's a freshman in high school, just starting out in high school there, she says, "I believe in Jesus. I believe that Jesus is the one who I pray to during hard times. My parents and grandparents have shown me how to have faith, and it feels right for me too." Evan, who's an eighth grader, he said, "I've been coming to this church with my family since I was little, and I believe that Jesus gives me hope." Amen. "I know Jesus and God to be accepting and kind and forgiving." Ryan, who's also an eighth grader, his words were, he said, "I believe in God and Jesus because of my family and friends also believe, and I like playing music and volunteering." And finally, from Lila, from an eighth grader, she said, "I started believing because my parents brought me to church, but now I choose to come for myself, and I choose for myself to believe because when I'm a part of the church, I'm a happier person. I believe Jesus is my Savior and my protector, and Jesus gives me hope and inspires me to be my best self. I feel close to God in church and when I pray for others. Those powerful words of our students. These young people, they're on a great faith journey, and they've claimed that faith for themselves, and they know what it is they believe in and why it is that they believe it. Well, if you were to write your own statement of faith, your own creed, if you were to summarize it in the handful of words, if you were to write an elevator speech where literally if you were to hop on the elevator after worship and you were to ride down with a friend and someone said, well, you know, hey, Liz, what is it that you believe? What would you say that you believe? If you were to put your pen to paper and start writing, or if you were to put your fingers to the keys, what would get typed out? What do you believe and why do you believe it? I'm not a teacher by profession, but I am good at giving homework assignments, voluntary homework assignments. Your homework assignment this week is to think about that very thing. What would you put pen to pencil and what would you type out on the keys or text out with your fingers specifically this week? What do you believe about God and why do you believe it? Now, if you were to follow through on the sermon series and in 4 weeks, you could add on each week. Next week, it's what do you believe about Jesus and why? The third week, then, when you see me back again at our Brighton campus, what do you believe about the Holy Spirit and why is that? And the church, what do you believe about the church and why? And those 4 weeks from now, you could step back and like a creed, a statement of faith, just like our confirmands, you could have your own statement of faith. And you might discover what it is, and you might be surprised. For what we believe matters. It guides our hearts and actions. It impacts our choices and behaviors and relationships. It makes us who we really are. Throughout my seminary days, I came to dig deeper and to grow more, of course, and I came to own my own doctrine of God, my own theology about God. And I'll tell you, there's three things that I hold tight to and continue to cling to about God. So I want to share a few things about what I believe about God. Many things, but these are three things this morning I want to share. First, I believe that we're created in the beautiful image of God, and each of one of us is a beautiful child of God with that divine spark of creation inside of us. And as these beautiful children of God, I believe that all people are beautiful. We're all sacred worth. And to this end, I believe that God calls us to honor each other and to be a part of the work of resisting evil and injustice and oppression in whatever forms it presents itself, to live out those baptismal vows that we make, those membership vows that we say to one another. Second, I believe that as God's beloved children, created in God's image, born of the dust of the earth and washed clean of those baptismal waters, I believe that God seeks and longs to know us. And God seeks and longs to transform our lives because of grace. And through grace and because of the relentless love of God for God's children, I believe that then God is always with us throughout our journey of life and faith. I believe that God walks with us and never leaves us, and that God never forsakes us. And it's during those challenging moments of life and the times when families struggle and when loved ones pass and when there's cancer diagnosis and when there's hunger pains in the belly because there's the pantry is bare and the fridge is a little bit bare. And in the moments when there's financial resources are tight or absent, or in the moments when addiction struggle is real, and in the moments when there's just heartache and tragedy in the world, in those moments I believe strongly and fully that God's present. God loves us. God comforts us. God is with us because we're God's beloved children. When John Wesley, our founder of the Methodist movement, when he laid on his bed during the final moments of his life, he drew his last breath and he uttered these words. He said, "The best of all, God is with us. The best of all, God is with us." Without a doubt, I believe that God's with us. That third thing that I always believe without a doubt is that God calls us to be a part of the work of being co-creators in this world. And so to this end, I believe that God calls us to use our gifts and our talents and our passions and our skills, however crazy or weird we might think it is, it can be used for God's glory. that we can all be a part of bringing forth light and justice and goodness in this world. And I believe that God calls us to use those passions to help transform it, to build God's kingdom here and now. And God asks us to do this boldly with great courage. It's not easy. If you're good at pounding a nail with the hammer, God can use that skill. If you're good at a sewing machine and piecing some fabric together, God can use that skill. If you're good at writing notes or picking up the phone to check on someone and pray for someone who's been in the hospital or have had surgery, God can use that. I also believe that God calls us and equips us for that journey. And it's no mistake that we all have beautiful, different, creative gifts and talents that can be used for God's glory. God can use your skills to transform this world. There's many beliefs, I'm sure, that you hold as well about God. So I'm curious what those things are. I'm curious, who is God for you, and how has God impacted your life? I'm curious what you think about your relationship with God and how you see that and how you understand it. I'm curious who has influenced your faith journey. We all have a story. So this week I pray that you might be blessed with time and might be blessed with space to set aside a moment to pause and pray. I pray that this moment, this week, you might have a moment to pick up a pen and put it to a piece of paper or find the keyboard and dust it off and start typing out or get out an old-fashioned typewriter, however you want to do it. I pray this week that you might experience the great creator of heaven and earth, the great Lord Almighty, that God might speak to you in a new and profound way, and you might feel God's presence in your life. That God might remind you who and whose you are, and God might remind you how he's impacted your life. This week, in those moments to pause and ponder, may you equally be blessed with an opportunity to share, an opportunity to call a friend, to chat, to share your story, to stop by my office or Pastor John's and knock on the door. I'm curious. I'd love to know. I'd love to know. May this week God bless you with moments to write and to pray and to be present. Let's pray. Dear loving God, creator of the universe, Lord God Almighty, we give you thanks for this time of worship. We give you thanks for your presence in our lives. We give you thanks that you want to intimately and personally know us. And we give you thanks that you call us to be your servants of Christ here in this world to transform it. God, speak to us this day. Help us to know and own and claim and live out what it is we believe about you and why. Amen.
Thank you, Lindsay. That was a great invitation. We've all got some work to do. And I wanted to say thank you to the choir and to Susan for what lively and joyful music to start us off with. So thank you. It's been a few weeks since I've been present in worship, and I'm taking Lindsay's invitation seriously, and I hope you do too, to think about who's worshiping with us online. Maybe you can check the Facebook feed and see who's commented and just send them a note back. Or if you're online, look around and see who's here and maybe reach out to them if you haven't seen them in a while. And it's such a pleasure to be with you today. I want to draw your attention to the prayer quilts. We have three this morning for Marty Beck, for Megan Calvin, and for Lance. And as we pray together, let's hold them in our prayers so that Mary, Megan, and Lance are lifted up and their quilts are a representation of our love, prayers, and God's healing mercy. And I think we will be tying the knots together. Is that right? Afterwards. Okay. So, will you join me in a calming, prayerful moment? Let's pray. Creator God, what a blessing it is to pray this spring morning. As we recall the story of your creation, we are reminded of your love for this good earth. We pray a prayer of thanksgiving for the birds of the sky, the fish of the sea, the plants and animals that live in and on the land. You knew from the beginning the interconnectedness of each one. We pray a prayer of repentance for the ways in which we have strayed from taking care of your creation. Help us to turn away from practices that harm this world, destroy the goodness and cleanliness that was intended to feed, shelter, and comfort all who live here. Show us, Lord, use us, teach us how we must care for the plants, the animals, the water, the people, and the land. We pray a prayer of gratitude for your creating people, people now stretched across the world, people in this room, people in this community, in our country, our graduates, our teachers, people of every continent, of every race, color, and creed. Lord, help us to know their stories so we can uphold them as our brothers and sisters. And we pray a prayer of repentance as we are confronted with violence and hatred that has no place among your people or the world you created. As Pastor Lindsay said, it's no mistake we're different. Help us to turn from the path that does not allow all to flourish and live in peace. We pray a prayer of mercy and healing for those who hurt or grieve or suffer from illness, whether of the body or the mind or the spirit. Renew them with the life and energy and love that can only come from you. Open our minds, open our eyes, open our hearts and bodies to the work you call us to do. Give us the strength and courage to head down that path you are leading us. For we know that we are called to be your hands and feet on earth, to be the bearer of your witness, and to share your love in the world. We don't always know how to do that, so we turn to you in prayer. God, we pray a prayer of forgiveness for those who have hurt us. We pray a prayer of mercy, seeking forgiveness for causing harm to others. We pray a prayer of love, that love may heal and love may reconnect us to you. And now, in a moment of silence, we open ourselves to you with our personal prayers that we need to share. Lord, in this community, we pray for one another. The one on our left and the one on our right and the ones online. We pray for our pastors and leaders, for our families, our mothers and fathers and children. We ask your blessing on decision makers, that they may be witness bearers to goodness, mercy, and equity. Help us to be a blessing to those who need to hear of your love, mercy, and forgiveness. And help us to be a beacon to show your ways of peace, reconciliation, and justice. We pray all these things knowing that as our Creator, you want us to be connected with you and each other. In doing so, we are individual creatures who represent the Creator, and collectively, we are your creation. So now, as we unite our voices, may each one here and online feel our connection as one, as we join in the prayer that Jesus taught, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen."
I'd like to invite forward Marcia, who is our UMW president, as well as any graduates, anybody who's graduating from high school or college or master's programs or doctorate programs. We're celebrating our graduates both at 9:30 as well as, come on up, Lucas, as well as at 11 o'clock. So we want to celebrate our graduates here. You're welcome to come on up. All right, come on up, we want to celebrate you. All right.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yeah, we can
hear you now. Okay, I just congratulate you. I know it's the beginning of so much. We are our reading specialists, and United Methodist Women read. We do a lot of reading. And we found this book in specifically for graduates. And I'm not going to read the book to you this morning, but I would like to just give you an idea what it's about, and it could end up being your go-to book. God has great and wonderful plans for each of you. So sit back, relax, let him speak to your soul as you read. May God open your eyes so that you can see your unique purpose in this life. With that said, congratulations, and just know that United Methodist Women are always here for you. We've been known to send cookies occasionally. So good luck with your life. We just really appreciate that.
Mary Sophia, congratulations. Lucas, congrats. Matthew, congrats.
Thank you.
Let's say a prayer of blessing on these students. Oh, loving and gracious God, we give you thanks for Mary Sophia and for Lucas and for Matthew and for all of those that are graduating from high school and college and master's programs and doctorate programs and trade school programs. God, we give you thanks for their tremendous work and their perseverance, for all of the books that they read and papers they wrote and late nights they stayed up and projects they worked on. We give you thanks for the classes they took and for the community that surrounded them of support, for parents and siblings and loved ones that encouraged them on. We give you strength, praise God for the amazing strength that you've given them to come to this moment, and we celebrate. As a church community gathered here who are so proud of these students, we just, God, give you honor and glory and praise, and we wish them well in all, God, that you are calling them to do next. Whether it's work or careers or school yet to come in the future, God, may you go with them and bless them, and may they always be reminded of the great love you have for them and a church community back home that's praying for them and in celebrating them and encouraging them on. To God, may your glory be known, and we lift up these students to you this day. In Christ's name we pray, amen.
Amen.
Amen. You can be seated. I would invite the ushers to come forward to wait upon us to receive our tithes and gifts and offerings. May we be a part of the great mission and ministry of Christ through the sharing of our financial gifts at this time.
God of heaven and earth, when we see all that you have given us, we cannot help but be grateful and generous in return. Please bless these offerings we bring today to the good of your creation. Amen.
Thank you.
announcements I want to share real quick. I'll have an announcement, and I invite Dave to share an announcement. You're invited to join Pastor John and I this evening at 5 o'clock for a town hall meeting. We want to give an update on what's happening with the postponement of General Conference, the emergence of a new denomination called the Global Methodist Church, as well as our continued commitment here to continue knowing God, loving God, and serving God. So we'd invite you to be a part of a presentation and a conversation tonight at 5 o'clock here in the sanctuary. And I'd invite Dave to share an announcement as well.
Well, I started my homework assignment already. And the one thing that I believe is that fellowship activities are a great way to spend some time with your church family and friends that you could bring along. We had a great golf outing last week. We did some skiing in the wintertime. We've got camping and church picnic coming up. But the one that I'm passionate about for year after year, for about 9 years now, is the Lansing Lugnuts game. We'll have a bus that will leave here from the church at, right there, thank you. We leave here at 5:30, we meet at 5 o'clock. All you have to do is show up. The nice air-conditioned bus takes us to the game. We have great seats on the third base side usually. It's $40 a person. And it's right after the rummage sale. So come to the rummage sale and then just wander out into the parking lot and take a nap if you want on the way to the game. But it's a wonderful evening. There are several of you that are here that have gone year after year and will be joining us this year. So there's plenty of room. So please sign up. I've got about another week and a half. So right after the Memorial Day weekend, I'll have to make sure I procure the right number of tickets.
So. All right, so chat with Dave after worship or call the church office during the weekday. We can help you get tickets. Thank you, Dave. And there's a sign-up sheet out there after worship, so find Dave. So now this day, may you go forth with the love of God in your hearts. May you go forth with the peace of Jesus with you and the Holy Spirit always with you. So I'm curious, church, what is it that you believe about God and why? Go in peace this day. Amen.
We are so glad you worshiped with us. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. You are invited into this mission by worshiping, joining one or more small groups, sharing prayer requests, and becoming part of the community. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org for details about in-person worship at both of our two locations. We hope you were blessed by this worship. Please click the like button, subscribe to our channel, share this video, and join us again next week.